is a beautiful afternoon out there. I don't care where you are in South Carolina today. It's pretty from the mountains all the way to the coast. And if you're outside today and you, well, today and tomorrow, and you're either in at toward the mountain end of the state or on the coastal side of the state, you got two boat shows this weekend. You got the Greenville Boat Show happening at the TD Convention Center. And you've got the Charleston Boat Show happening down there at their, I think it's the Convention Center. It's kind of south of Tanger Malls in between 526 and 26. And it looks really, really nice. I've got a bunch of friends that are down there. I was there last year. It's a really big boat show, and they've got it set up really outside and inside. And it's a nice boat show. I was at the Greenville Boat Show yesterday checking out whatever they had out there. And, of course, Casey Ashley's out there if you're interested in seeing him. And what was really bizarre was I had Taylor with me, and she always, you know, just loves to get her picture taken with people. So she had a picture taken with Casey yesterday. And when I was looking at it, I said, I think I've got a picture of her from last year. And that kid has got to be 8 inches taller this year than it was last year. It's incredible to look at, which just makes me feel old. But, hey, it's a good day. You're listening to Woods and Water South Carolina here on 94.5 WGTK-FM. I'm Roger Metz. I'll be your host for as long as I live today. We been a rough one. Speaking of Taylor, she had came down with pneumonia right after Christmas, and thought I'd survive that, and thought my wife had survived that, and Debbie came down with pneumonia, and we just got her, I guess, over it or mostly over it. And well, I tell you, if I make it through today, I'm going to be doing really good. Breakfast this morning consisted of two vitamins, an airborne tablet, and a glass of orange juice. So I'm going to hang in here. If come back from a break and there's just dead silence, I told Dave it's no rap music, just country, and then some classic rock and roll would be good. But anyway, did everybody enjoy your snow day? I mean, it's a southern holiday. I'm sorry. It's just what it is. It was great. We actually got out and did a little sledding and all. In fact, we got on one hill. And you know when you're going over the top of a roller coaster on that first big hill and your heart kind of goes, wee, as you go down? Well, we got on one of those hills. And, right after that feeling, my responsible side said, yeah, and if you break something on this hill, you're going to really feel like an idiot. But it was a good ride. Did it several times, in fact. So, anyway, hope you had a good snow day. Thanks for tuning in today. If you're outside, you know, it's almost roll down your window weather out there. There's a few things on the calendar of events I want to get to. We're going to hear from Brandon Cobb, Greenwood's own Brandon Cobb, FLW Pro there down in Florida. He just fished the Bass Southern Open and headed towards Lake Okeechobee for the first stop on the FLW Cup Tour this year. He's going to call in the bottom of the hour. I've got two sets of tickets for Siwi. If you're interested in going to the Southeastern Wildlife Exposition in Charleston, the 12th through the 14th of February, I got two sets of tickets. I've got two Saturday tickets that are worth, I believe, $25 a piece, and I've got two three-day tickets. In other words, you can go down and spend Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Those are $50 tickets. I got a pair of those, courtesy of Siwi. And I'll be down there on Friday. I will give myself more than 3 hours like last year and hopefully get to see a lot more of it and enjoy it. In fact, I'm actually going down and pick up my oldest daughter, and we're going to go together. So, with that having said, let's get to the calendar of events. Oh, I'm sorry. You're going to need these numbers. 877-235-9405. It's a first caller Wednesday. So, when I say those tickets are up for grabs, first caller, 877-235-9405, they're yours. The Open Striped Bass Tournament Trail, they are one tournament into it. They did Clark's Hill on January the 9th, and they had 40 boats. Talked to Mark latter part of this week, and they are headed to Lake Hartwell next Saturday. Too late to get in it. The third stop will be Lake Murray on March the 5th. You can enter up to February the 26th on that one. But if you're not doing anything next Saturday afternoon, you know, striper fishing, we've talked, is not one of those things you have to have an $80,000 bass boat. If you got to the boat show, you'll see some of those. You don't have to have one. Striper fishing is a lot different than bass fishing. And so if you're around Lake Hartwell next Saturday, Green Pond Landing, stop in and check it out. It's I'm going to be down there. I'm going to leave this show as soon as I can and try to get down there in time to see it all wrap up. And, you know, but it's a good thing. Mark's going to be on with us probably next week from the tournament. But it's an opportunity to go see what it's all about. And they've got some good, they've got some great sponsors just come on board. So that again, that's February the 6th down at Green Pond Landing in Anderson, South Carolina on Lake Hartwell. Palachicola Shooting Range, this is from the Department of Natural Resources webpage, is going to conduct a shooting sports field day on February the 6th. It's in conjunction with the South Carolina 4-H program from 1 to 4, Saturday, February the 6th, at the Palachicola Shooting Range, adjacent to the Webb Wildlife Center in Garnett and Hampton County. It's designed for those interested in learning about shooting sports and will consist of instruction and supervision with a variety of archery and firearm shooting stations. It's ideal for the novice shooter, both youth and adult, interested in learning about shooting and hunting. There's going to be, of course, everything you need to shoot will be there, along with individual shooting instructors. It's all provided free of charge. So you can check out more at the Department of Natural Resources webpage, or you can call the Webb Wildlife Center at 803-625-3569, and they'll help you out. That's a good opportunity, all free. Come visit the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources, Marine Resources Division biologists. They're headquartered at Fort Johnson on James Island, overlooking Charleston Harbor. They monitor and research our state's marine resources, everything from algae to sea turtles. They monitor fish species, tell us how they live and grow, and what types of habitat they need to survive. You can learn all of this Thursday, February the 11th from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. That's Fort Johnson Road, Charleston, South Carolina. Bring closed-toed shoes, but you get a guided tour of the facility, stopping in the labs to observe current research and the tools they use to do it. This is a pretty neat place, and this is the second time they've had it open for tours. Suggest you get on it. From the local hiker in Spartanburg, South Carolina, they are hosting a special screening event of The Long Start to the Journey. They're going to have a barbecue lunch before taking a journey on the Appalachian Trail with a feature film. Let's see, $19 a person. It's on Eventbrite on the web. It's February the 13th from 12 to 2:30. And the website for the movie is atmovie.com. And the description they've got, it is pretty good. The Long Start to the Journey follows filmmaker Chris Galloway on his attempt to thru-hike the Appalachian Trail. Frost, as he comes to be known on the trail, encounters severe weather, injury, loneliness, and fascinating characters he meets along the way. He walked over 2,000 miles in 7 months, experiencing major life changes from becoming engaged to a close family tragedy. In the course of his hike, discovers the origin of the Appalachian Trail and how the early values and battles of the trail movement shaped what the AT has become today. Really good movie. In fact, since we're coming up on a break here, I'm going to get off the beaten path with that one. How many of you have seen A Walk in the Woods with Nick Nolte and Robert Redford? Now, okay, there's a little bit of language in it, but boy, I tell you, if you're over 50 or 55 or something like that, or getting starting to get closer there than you were in your 20s, it is a great movie. Absolutely hilarious. You'll be rolling on the floor with that one. But my daughter signed me up for some kind of computer movie subscription or something, and it was on there, and I watched it. It was hilarious, absolutely hilarious. But it's based on two old guys trying to hike the AT trail too. So anyway, again, that's over at the local hiker in Spartanburg, February the 13th, 12 to 2:30. Go to eventbrite.com and look for the Long Start to the Journey tickets. All right, hang on. We got a couple more things, and then I'm going to do some Archery Trade Association stuff. So hang on through the break. We'll see you on the other side. heard. It had to be a replay because we were snowed in. But man, we lost a great one in Glenn Frey. Said goodbye. I saw him once in Clemson. That was the show. He was just a high August. Debbie was about 6 months pregnant in Death Valley. That was, I mean, the music was great. We'll never do that again. But yeah, lost Glenn Fry. Glenn Fry the other week. Horrible. And the Eagles will never be the same. Never be the same. You just can't replace him. So, Glenn, we're going to miss you, buddy. Yeah, lots of good music, though. That's the nice thing about it. But yeah, that was a brutal concert. Wow. Hot August Death Valley. And I remember Joe Walsh had those long balloons you make hot dog. They you know, make cats and dogs out of them. He had a hat on of those things. That's pretty fun. a few more things on the calendar. February 19th through the 20th, Green Acres Archery Club, 235 Broadmouth Church Road in Honeypath is going to have a 3D archery shoot. It's the only shoot of the year. 20 targets, 10 and under free, 15 and under $10, 16 and up $15. If you're a pro, you're going to charge you $25. They're going to shoot Friday from 12 to 5, Saturday 75. This is not an event where they provide you with a bow. You can bring your own. But sounds like a really good time. And you can check them out, Green Acres Archery Club down in Honeypath. If you're a bow hunter or like to shoot your 3D targets, this is for you. South Carolina Parks is, I remember when the Amazing Race first started, and we used to watch it diligently. They're having an Amazing Race challenge down at Myrtle Beach State Park. It's the annual Amazing Race contest that covers 4.5 to 5.5 miles. It's a day of friendly competition using your wits, athleticism, and problem-solving skills to answer questions about nature, complete challenges, and solve puzzles. Cleverness and teamwork will be your only tools, no technology allowed. Gotta love that one. You can find out more. It's no one under 12 can participate, but teams of two. One must be an adult, 18 or over. Registration is $50. And you can find all this at the South Carolina State Parks website. And it's going to happen March the 5th, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. And the registration deadline is February 13th. So just something fun to do if you're down in the Myrtle Beach area at the beginning of March. I did spend a couple of days at the Archery Trade Association in Louisville, Kentucky, back a few weeks ago. A good friend of mine, Pete Rogers, who's an outdoor writer here and right down the street here in Greer, goes every year, and I'd never been, and he invited me to go. And I said, sure, I'll go. So went, you know what, I forgot something. If you want to go to SeaWee, Dave, you're supposed to wave your hands and let me know to give away tickets. If you want to go to SeaWee on Saturday, that would be the 13th. Saturday the 13th of February, SeaWee tickets, 877-235-9405. These are one-day tickets to the Saturday at SeaWee from start to finish, however much you can pack in a day. It's on courtesy of the Southeastern Wildlife Exposition. So 877-235-9405 if you want to go to SeaWee on Saturday. Okay, back up. Archery Trade Association. I always, when I go to these places, I always look for kind of what I think is neat or something I might use, find interesting. And it's no different with this show. I walked almost 5 miles 2 days in a row. The Louisville Exposition Center is huge. Trust me when I say that. And I go through trying to find some neat products, and Pete was really helpful this year. Never been there. It's kind of daunting when you look where to start. So he helped me out, and even kind of some of the things he liked, I picked up on them, and he pointed me in the right direction on a couple of things. Everybody has a thermocell. If you don't have a thermocell, you need one. They make them the original thermocell for hunters. They make little lanterns for the backyard. It's a great mosquito repellent. I was using two of them this year at the coast to keep mosquitoes away, but they're great things. Well, there's a problem with thermocells that they fixed now. Thermocells work best when they're horizontal. Well, they've got these little holsters, and everybody hangs them off the side of their stands, and they're vertical. Well, it works best horizontal. And I'm the one who lays it on the foot part of my tree stand, and I invariably kick it off sometime during the hunt. This year, they're coming out with a tree hanger. Just one of those things like the little umbrella or the tape around your tennis shoe laces or whatever. It's real simple. It's a plastic box, has a rubber loop on it, and it's got a, like your folding knife, it's got a screw head that comes out, folds back in, out of the way. When you fold it out, it clicks into place with the same mechanism as your folding knife. You screw it into the tree. It doesn't have to be very far because thermocells are not heavy. Strap your thermocell to it. Bingo. Out of the way. Don't have to worry about knocking it off or anything else. So that's one of the best of the Archery Trade Association I came back with. Like I said, most everybody I know has one. If you don't have one, well, you probably don't hunt, but you probably have something in your backyard. But really cool. And look for it out this year. It's called the tree hanger. Real simple. And we'll solve that problem of where to put your thermocell when you're hunting out of tree stands. Hunter Safety Systems. Jerry Widener has been on the show to talk about tree stand safety. I finally got to meet him. He is nothing at all what I'd pictured, but just a great guy. Probably spent an hour with him over 2 days talking about what's new, thanking him for being on the show, getting a little more of his story. And one of the really cool things that they did this year, besides having the, you know, just some of the best harnesses for deer hunting out there, their lifelines, which if you have hunted much, a lifeline attaches to the tree, either above where you climb on a climbing stand or above your seat part of your ladder stands or whatever. And it hangs down, and it's got a crucifix knot on it. And when you get ready to go up a tree, you click in to that knot. The knot slides up, and you pull it up, the knot slides up. But if you ever fall, that knot cinches and keeps you from hitting the ground. Well, they did something, another one of those little things. They have a directional reflective material made into those lifelines now. It's directional. In other words, we were in the Louisville Convention Center, probably, I don't know, 30 yards away from the Hunter Safety System display. And, of course, they got some mock guys sitting there in tree stands and the lifelines up and all. And it's lit up like daylight. He goes, look at that safety line. And he's got an LED flashlight in his hand. He goes, see it? Got it? Watch this. He clicks on that LED, and the reflective tape in that thing just, I'll put it up on the Facebook page. I'm also going to put it up on the website. It's incredible. But it's directional. It only reflects right back from the same direction the light came from. So it's a very narrow band of who's going to see that reflection. But even in the Louisville Convention Center, it was like incredibly bright. I can't imagine what it'd be like in the dark of night. But it's one of those things when you're trying to find your tree stand or the tree you like to climb, you know, there is no doubt where that thing is now if you've got a Hunter Safety System lifeline up that tree. I don't understand how it works, but it works. And I'm telling you, it's pretty incredible. The other thing Hunter Safety System has out new this year, it's a harness, almost like a lineman harness for climbing a power pole. And it's designed to help you put up your climbing steps. You're putting up a lock on in the tree, and you get, you know, beginning of every year, you got to put your steps up, cinch them up and all. It's a lineman's harness, goes around the tree. You lean back against it. It's adjustable. You know, it keeps you from falling. They've added a couple of things. They've got a little tool belt on the backside of it. So you got your clippers if you're running into tree branches, just whatever you need once you get up there, your ratchet straps for your tree, your tree steps. And it's also got two clips on each end, one on each end. And I asked him, I said, Jerry, what are those for? And he goes, well, he says, watch this. He said, you get in there, you stand on the ground, you put your first set of tree steps up, you you know, climb up one step, you put your second one on, and then you got to figure out what to do with the next one or two sections. And he said, that's when you take these little clips, you hook one section on one clip, one section on the other clip, you climb on up using the first set of steps, you cinch the top of the second, you climb up, and with one hand, you can reach around, grab your third set of tree steps, put it up, and you're almost hands-free. So that was one of those that I really liked. Jerry's a really neat guy, really has a heart for deer hunting, if you want to say, and keeping us safe when we're up in the trees. So that's number two of my best from Archery Trade Association. Number three, and this one's a little focused because I've got an archery elk hunt coming up in September in Colorado. And so, and of course, being an Archery Trade Association, I was looking for things that would help me. And I ran across, and a pack is one of those things I got to have. I got to have a pack that, of course, can carry all my gear up the mountain because this is a backpack trip. But it's got to have a frame that I can pack an elk out on. Now, that's wishful thinking, I know, but I have to stay positive. I need a frame to pack out, you know, a quarter because an elk, I don't know, how much is a quarter? 75, 80 pounds boned. And if you got the bone in, it's probably a lot more. So anyway, I looked at a lot. I looked at Burlestock. I hope I said that right. They started out military packs. They ventured into the hunting packs. Really nice stuff. I looked at Tenzig. Tenzig has gone to a carbon fiber backplate, which is really incredible because you can stand on it. You know, it doesn't bend, it doesn't break. It's so light, it's not funny. If you can afford the $900 for the Tenzig pack, go right ahead. It's not going to be me. But Pete said, hey, you need to check out Alps Outdoors. So I did. They had a really great out display, had a lot of packs there, and they had almost the perfect pack, I think. Retails for about $300. It's 1680 nylon ballistic. Tenzig had some reinforcement in theirs that was virtually indestructible. He showed me a picture of like the fabric is gone, but that reinforcing stuff he has in there is still there, and which is why it's a $900 pack, and it's probably well worth it. Not if you're me, but Alps Outdoors, good pack. The bag attaches to the frame with zippers, and then you can take it off. If you want to load something between the frame and the pack, it has a series of compression straps that you can attach the pack to the frame and whatever in between. It's got all sorts of pockets on it, compression straps. You can add a rifle or a bow drop down pocket. It's just a really good pack. Extra large door for packing stuff in. You can pack stuff from the top side. Hydration pockets and ports. Rain covers included. 4,000 cubic inches. The frame weight's 5 pounds. Pack weight's 4 pounds. Total weight, 9 pounds. That's about a little over twice what the Tenzig was. But for the money, I just don't think you can beat it. So I got a couple more. Those are a few of them. Take it for what you will. I love them. Hang on through the break. We're going to talk to Brandon Kopp from the FLW from Florida on the other side.
And smell of early spring. Sit down in a fold-up easy chair on a quiet...
And welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Congratulations to Sean from Simpsonville. Going to Saturday at SeaWee. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoy those tickets. Dual Doc Dog tanks this year again. Birds Prey, Jack Hanna. It's going to be a good time. Speaking of good times, we got our friend Greenwood's own Brandon Cobb, FLW. I guess it's your third year on the Pro Tour, Brandon?
That's right. Yeah, that's right. My third year. I finished 5 out of 6 tournaments my first year, and then last year was my full year.
I got
this year is a full year.
And Brandon, you're in sunny and warm Florida.
I am. It's actually warm this week, too. I've been here for a week. I finished the Bassmaster Southern Open last week at Lake Toho. And yeah, I might have been in Florida, but it wasn't sunny and warm last week. It was more rainy and cold.
I heard it was not typical Florida weather.
It was not. I know two mornings I woke up for practice and had frost on the window of the truck, which is not what you want in Florida.
No, because those big bass just don't like that cold weather.
They really don't. They really don't. I think it was great conditions for fishing the week before, and then a front came in on Saturday, and it got pretty brutal for the tournament.
And I tell you, it almost looks like you're going to have the same thing this week. You're going to have, what, 70s and 80s for most of the week, and I think it takes a dive Friday and Saturday?
Yeah, that's right. It does. It's the one good thing is as long as it stays warm all week and pretty stable, I think some of the spawning will start and the fish will kind of get doing their thing, and it still shock them down here in Florida, but at least they might get farther along before it shocks them.
I got you. So Toho last week, Okeechobee this week, two big fish lakes, and I guess I know Brad Knight had some big ones and Wesley Strader had some big ones, but I see a lot of people coming in with five, you know, 1.5 pounders.
That's one of the big misconceptions down here. I mean, you watch on TV, and I mean, I know I was one of them. The first time I ever came down here, I had visions of 10-pounders in my mind and everything. And you get down here, and yeah, it takes a lot of weight to win down here, but it's you got to find key little areas, and it's the lake's very tough fishing. Other than that, I mean, I think I had 25-1 mm-hmm. last week at Toho.
Yeah.
And I finished 29th out of 200 boats with only 12 and a half a day. So the top 10, top 5 usually really catch them, but then it's pretty mediocre weights for the rest of it. There's giants here, but they're very hard to find, and they all tend to be in one area.
You know, I fished Toho for 3 hours in August, July, down at the ICAST convention, mm-hmm. and I have never in my life seen so many variations of grass. I mean, you got lily pads, you got... the closest I've come to, have you ever been up on the Cooper River in the old rice fields?
I have a long time ago.
Well, that's the closest I can come. It's just grass here and grass there, different types of grass, and you got grass underwater at different levels. How tough does that make it to fish down there?
It's very tough. It's really, I mean, someone from Florida that's used to fishing that type of stuff, and it's kind of like us. They're back home, you see a point in a pocket and lay down, and you see all these things that you know are key things you look for when you're trying to pattern the fish. But down here, to me, I'm starting to learn a little bit, but it just looks like grass. I mean, it's grass everywhere. And there's little subtle things, whether it's just clean pads and on clean bottom with no grass around, or maybe some lily pads in hydrilla.
Okay.
Or just there's little characteristics you look for, and they pattern the same. It just is, it's hard to understand how to look at it when you're not used to fishing.
Oh yeah, yeah. And I was
and the fish tend to group up majorly. I mean, you'll fish a mile of water that all looks great or all looks the same essentially, and then you'll hit one stretch, and in 100 yards you'll get a bite every other cast, and that's just the way the fish move down here. They kind of all live together.
So how many fish did you catch on the 2 days you got to fish on the open?
Let's see, the first day, I think I culled 3 times, so I caught 8 keepers. And the second day, I probably culled 7 or 8 times, okay. So I guess 12 keepers or so the second day. And it was, I had some actually decent bites the second day and got them, the cover so thick down there, I lost a couple big ones up in some thick reeds and things like that. It's hard to get them out, even with 65-pound test and an 8-foot rod. It's still not easy.
Yeah, I mean, I went down there with a 7-foot, I think I had 16-pound, not mono, but help me out. Flora, yeah, 16-pound flora, and that was great when we were fishing up around some stumps and cypress and all that, and they started going out and frogging in that thick stuff, and I was like, okay, I'm just going to sit back here and relax now. No reason to fish.
Yeah, that'll hurt your feelings with that stuff down there.
It sure will. Well, look, what is Brandon Cobb doing the off season?
This year, I did actually more deer hunting than I normally do. I normally go a couple times and try to shoot one or two for some meat for the year, but I only killed one this year. But I actually took my girlfriend hunting this year, and she actually loves to deer hunt. She she had never hunted before until I met her, and I started taking her, and she loves it. She actually doesn't like to sit with me because she says she can't pay attention because I move too much.
But that's bad.
But she came. I took her this year. She actually killed 190-pound 8-point, biggest one she's ever killed.
Wow.
And then I took one of my friends that he got his apprentice hunting license and he had never hunted before. He killed one about the same size.
Well,
I was a good guide this year.
You were a good guide this year, Brandis, and we need a lot of those these days.
That's right. Hopefully we'll get them hooked on and they'll keep doing it. And I got me one too, but I do a little duck hunting back home too. But duck hunting in South Carolina is a little tough, but you can go shoot some wood ducks.
I have been once. And, you know, first time out, Sophie was with me, and she's three, she'll be three in August, I guess. Mm-hmm. And, you know, had five mallards come up the lake, you know, hit them with the call. Boy, they turned on a dime, you know, cupping up, coming on in, and she just couldn't stand it. She gets the closer they got, she started whining before she just broke out barking. And I'm like, you know, you can't blame her. First time, she's probably more excited than I am. And, but that's the only hunt I've had this year. Only time I've been out there.
I haven't been a whole lot. It was a little too warm all winter.
I spent a
lot of the off season too, trying to get things straightened out for the tour.
Sure.
Got paired up with a couple of good companies this year to represent. So
who's that?
I'll be Yozuri in the dual line of baits and T-line, Falcon rods. And also visit Anderson and Fish Lake Hartwell.
There you go.
So I'll be, it'll be good. We're coming to Hartwell this year, so use the new Green Pond ramp. Yep. Awesome ramp to have a Hartwell for tournament. So it'll be a good time.
Very good. Toho, looking forward to it. What do you think? What you gonna? Okeechobee. I'm sorry. You just left Toho going Okeechobee. Is it a grass nightmare like Toho is, or is it a little better?
It's actually way more overwhelming, believe it or not. It's the difference down here is you got a bunch of tall reeds, like sawgrass type reeds.
Okay.
And you can't, which on Toho, you got short grass. You can, it might be thick, but you can see where you're going.
Okay.
Well, down here, the lake's essentially lined with 5-6 foot tall reeds and with little, they call them hog trails. It's essentially as wide as the boat or maybe two boats. And you run these trails and then they'll open up in the big ponds behind the reeds and you can't see over the reeds. So some of these trails might lead you into a pond, but then I think people make some of them just to screw with out-of-state people because I'll be running one, this has got to go somewhere. And then all of a sudden it ends and you're stuck.
Oh, my goodness.
No, it's a little overwhelming, but it's fun to fish. It's different than I ever get to do, so I enjoy it. It's hard to find them.
Did you get to go down and pre-fish any?
I didn't come and pre-fish this one. I've been down here two or three times before, so I at least know my way around the lake. I don't really like to pre-fish that much. My main reason I go pre-fishing is to learn how to get around somewhere, not really try to find any fish, because then you come with too much of a preconceived idea of what you want to do in the tournament. So I'd rather just try to figure out this week what the fish are doing and not already have any ideas in my head that hang me up on them, essentially.
That's right, because y'all can start practicing, tomorrow, Tuesday? Tomorrow through Wednesday.
Tomorrow, Monday and Tuesday, and Wednesday we get an off day.
That's right. And then starts up Thursday
pretty,
morning.
That's pretty nice. Get our tackle ready and everything. Gives you a little chance to take a break.
Very good. Well, good luck to you.
I appreciate it.
And let me hear from you. I'll be watching it. And, folks, if you're interested at all, and it's fun to watch some of these, you can go online to flwfishing.com. They'll usually run the front page of whatever tournament's going on. You can click to see updates during the day. At 3 o'clock, they start streaming the weigh-ins live, and you can watch, hopefully, Brandon walk across with a good five fish bag.
I hope so. About 30 pounds.
About 30 pounds is what we're after. All right. Well, we'll settle for 20, right?
I'll settle for 20 every day.
Okay. Well, Brandon, I appreciate you calling in. Look forward to seeing you when you get here to Hartwell, and we'll talk between now and then.
All right, sounds good. Thanks for having me on the show.
All right, Brandon, we'll talk to you soon.
All right, talk to you later.
Bye. All right, bye-bye. He's a really good kid. Greenwood, South Carolina. Last year was his second year on the tour, and he finishes third in the FRLW Cup on Ouachita. Got to watch him fish a little bit during that tournament. But good guy. We've actually got something going on between Woods and Water, South Carolina, and Brandon Cobb, and we'll roll that out in Hartwell. when they're here for Hartwell. That's March 17th through the 20th. And if you weren't listening a couple of weeks ago, yeah, yours truly got his big mouth open. Yes. In fact, I was talking to the radio station about putting the logo on my jersey. And Lori wanted to know if she could get a one that I could peel off in case I didn't catch anything. Or, but I'll be fishing the co-angler side at Lake Hartwell, which is going to be fun. I'm lining up sponsors now. So hang on through the break. I'm going to cover a little bit more on the Archery Trade Association and be over for another Saturday. See you on the other side.
WGTK FM, News Talk Radio for the Upstate.
The history of the BMW 3 Series isn't written in books. It's written on roads across America. For 40 years, the original sports sedan has outdriven the competition with features like near-perfect 50-50 weight distribution and a twin-power turbo engine. Head to your local BMW center to test drive the BMW 3 Series and experience its legendary performance today. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Test drive the 3 Series at Century BMW, Lawrence Road. Special lease and finance offers available by Century BMW through BMW Financial Services. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
And welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Wishing a happy 65th birthday to Phil Collins. One of the best songs he ever recorded, right there. It's one of those 10-word songs that just, and you know why it will live on forever? Because that was in the pilot episode of Miami Vice. The pilot episode of Miami Vice, that song, if you watch it, they're in that Ferrari Daytona running down some street in Miami, and that song is playing. Tubbs has got that sawed-off double-barrel shotgun. Why am I talking about this? This is an outdoor radio show, but you just never know what you're going to hear when you tune into the show. But happy birthday to Phil Collins. Great, another great musician. At least if you ask me. Everybody's got their own opinion, but I like Phil Collins. Archery Trade Association. Got a couple more things here to go through. And I'll put this up on the Facebook side and the web page hopefully this weekend if I'm still alive and not on the couch, which I'll probably be for us today anyway. Glendale Targets. Glendale, G-L-E-N-D-E-L. This is probably one of the, having picked up a bow 2 years ago for the first time, shooting a lot of square targets with yellow dots on them. This is probably one of the best archery targets I saw it at ATA. They have three models, depending on how big your deer are in your area, which is pretty neat that they try to, they don't have any of those Florida-sized deer. There's 100-pounders. I mean, well, that could be South Carolina deer too. But anyway, they have them different sizes, replaceable cores, and all the cool thing about Glendale, and they're not cheap, you know, but they're not too expensive as to be prohibitive. The one that I picked out here, it's the 200-pounder. It estimates the size of a 200-pound deer. 34 inches at shoulders, 56 total height. And that's one thing people don't understand. A mature whitetail is only between 2.5 to 3 feet tall at the shoulders. And that's something, you know, you see them, and if they're standing out there in the field, you can see the whole thing, you're like, wow, that's a big deer. But get 2 feet of broom straw in that field, and all you're looking at is the head. Pretty much everything else is going to be hidden. So, and it always is, it's one of those useless things, too. Always amazes me how quickly deer can disappear in cover. But the really nice thing about this one, although it's a nice target as far as archery targets go, the really cool thing about this one is the insert. A lot of inserts in 3D archery targets, you know, you can shoot from one side and shoot from the other side and you replace the core. Glendale is coming up with, it's actually a six-sided replacement core. So you get, in their estimation, 5 times more shooting surface than the competition, simply because, and here's why, Of course, I got the vital areas, the heart, lungs, outline on the target. As you rotate that target, the outline of the vitals turns. So in other words, you're looking at one side of the insert here, and everything is, you know, all the labels are readable. If you turn that thing 90 degrees, you're looking at, you'd have to turn it 45 degrees or 90 degrees to get it right. So for each turn, so it rotates, and the area you're shooting for is constantly in a new unshot area of that target. Does that make sense at all? Shake your head, yes, no, makes sense, okay. So you have so many more sides to shoot before you have to replace the core because the actual target itself moves each time you turn the core. So that's Glendale. This one, like I said, the 200-pounder was $159, and the replacement core, let's see if I can find a price on that one for you. Yeah, $79 for that one. But it is really cool. Go to Glendale.com, G-L-E-N-D-E-L, and check it out. If you're an archery guy, you'll understand this. And it is really a neat idea just to rotate that target every time. And you're shooting at an area that's, you know, 3 inches, really. That's your real target. And it rotates inside the... It really cool. Okay, enough about that one. One of the coolest things that I saw at ATA was from a group called Twisted Timber Tree Stands. And here's another one that Pete said, hey, you need to look at this. And I probably spent an hour there. Twisted Timber Tree Stands. We would like to take your hunting experience to the next level. And their thing is hunt where you want to hunt and not where the trees dictate that you hunt. Now, there's a lot of engineering that went into this and a lot of pretty cool thought. If you're a lock-on tree stand hunter, you know, you climb the tree, you put it up there, you got one strap goes around the top, one strap goes around the back. You usually have an angled, toothy steel plate on the bottom side so it digs in and won't shift and all. Twisted Timber has taken that and made it to where you don't have to have a tree that's, you know, straight up. In fact, I think their biggest market would be somewhere like South Texas or actually the southern part of Kentucky. I saw a lot of, when I came through, I always take the back roads. By the way, I know where the Jim Beam distillery is now. I passed right by it. But it would work here too. And when I was looking at this, I was thinking where I hunt, I know there's one area I'd love to hunt. There's no real tall trees there. There is a pretty big dogwood tree that you couldn't climb with a climber, but this thing would work perfect on it. What they did is, at the top of your lock-on stand, they have a hole drilled in the back of the stand. There are three straps with a Twisted Timber tree stand, not two. The first strap goes around the tree or the limb, wherever you want it put up. And what it has is it has on like a ratchet strap, you've got a hook on the end. Well, instead of the hook laying flat, the hook is made to where it turns up. So when it lays against the tree, the part where the two straps, the ring where the straps go through, lays flat against the tree, and then the hook is coming out of the ring. And you hang the stand on that hook. You hang it, it self-levels. You take a ratchet strap and you go around the tree at the top. The cool part about Twisted Timber, and you're thinking, now how does that work with just the top part? You're not going to hang it on the thing and strap it and that's going to be it. No, the back part of the footrest on a Twisted Timber tree stand is a metal plate or actually a piece of square tubing. And what it has is probably every inch. It has a hole drilled in it, every inch. And it's probably, I don't know, 15, 18 inches long. So you hang that up, it self-levels. Wherever the bottom of that tree stand touches the tree or the limb you're on, you take the ratchet strap, you find two holes that will sense that stand back up against that limb, and you can do it as far to the right or as far to the left as you have holes to do it. And it's Tree Stand Manufacturers Associated certified. They had a couple of guys come by while I was standing there who actually used these tree stands. And one of them was a little bit bigger than me. And he said, yes, the first time I climbed into it, I wondered how soon it would take me to hit the ground. He said, but no, never had a problem with it. Never felt uncomfortable. It's amazing where you can take this. And they've done two more things that, besides the tree stand leveling itself to how it hangs on the limb, you can also level the footrest and the seat. The footrest, kind of below the seat, there's a plate that's welded on. It has holes in it, and it runs down the spine. And from the footrest back up to the spine of the tree, of the lock-on, you have cables with like quick links. So you can level that footrest with that cable and that series of holes. And then the seat has a bolt. I think it was like a 3/8 or something. And all you do is it goes through a threaded part, and you can screw it in to raise the seat up, or as you screw it out, the seat lower. So not only can you put it on a tree that is not straight up and down, if it's not going to center level, you can use those two adjustments to make the whole thing level. It's probably got to be one of the most comfortable ones to sit in. The only thing I was thinking, and I talked to them a little bit more about marketing after I got through looking at tree stands and all, and they were wondering, you know, from my standpoint, how do you, not like I've got an opinion, but anyway, they asked me, and I think the only thing they're missing is a backrest. Because if you think about it, if you're in a lock-on stand and you're sitting in a tree, you've got the tree behind you to lean up against. This tree stand, you wouldn't. If you're on a limb that's not directly behind. So anyway, I think if they added a backrest, it'd be just the perfect stand. And that's my best of the ATA. There's a couple more that I really liked. Muddy tree stands. Boy, their ladder stands are second to none. I really think they're the next two-man ladder stands I buy will be Muddy's. Just because of the way they're constructed, the seat, it's got not a pad, but it's that web seat. It's really comfortable. Squirrels don't chew it up. One thing that everybody I talked to with tree stands said is you ought to pull your tree stands after the season. Just get them out of the woods. And I think that's what we're going to start doing, at least in my stands. They're going to come down after every season. No more leaving them up. Even if it takes a little more effort, I'm going to bring them down. But anyway, great show. Archery Trade Association was all that it had been, I thought it would be. I met, of all the people I met, from Pigman to some of the guys with Realtree, Mossy Oak, to some of the celebrities walking around, Eva Shockey. And in one instance, it just made it. And I might share that with you. I'll tell you what, I'm going to try to get her on the show, because I think she is, as far as ladies hunting goes, she is probably the best, except for Brenda Valentine and some of the patriarchs of the hunting sports on the ladies' side. I think Eva is probably one of the best ones for the youth that are coming up, the girls who like to hunt and be outdoors and all. So you know what? We actually made it. My throat is really about gone. 2 minutes to go. We can do this. Turkey season's coming up. Don't forget. Well, let's see. Let's back up just a second. Senate 454, the deer regulations bill. They had a subcommittee, an agriculture natural resources subcommittee meeting Wednesday. It did not come up. There are four members of that subcommittee. They hold it in the balance, whether it passes out to the full committee and then on to the House floor for a vote. But it didn't go out. They actually did put me on the email list for updates, so I'll know ahead of time. If you don't know about S-454, that's the show we did last week, was the tape show with Charles Ruth. I think it's a great thing. Turkey season's coming up real quick. Don't forget, this changed the season dates and the limits. Department of Natural Resources has some public drawing turkey hunts. The deadline for those hunts is February 29th. They're at Belfast, Bonifari, Donnelly, Santee Cooper, and Watery. So go to the Department of Natural Resources webpage, check out more of those, and get your application in if you want to go on one of the state-sponsored turkey hunts. You know what? I forgot. third set of tickets. Do we have time to do that? First caller, 2 3-day passes to SeaWee, 877-235-9405. First caller's got it the whole weekend. Hey, for Tim and Karen with House to Home coming in behind me today, Chuck Norris doesn't do home remodeling, but Chuck Norris looks in the mirror. It breaks because it knows better to get between Chuck Norris and Chuck Norris. That's it. Make time to get out there. Take the back rooms when you can. Don't forget that camera. I'll talk to you next week. On Carolina.